Thank you, Tom. Appreciate that. I'm going to switch to the lapel there, Gary. As you saw in the bulletin today, we're starting a series here on communication. And I will let you know that the reason we're talking about this is by no means because I am an expert at this or good at. I got four people in our home you can ask about this and how good a communicator. But that doesn't mean that we can't still talk about it. Thank the Lord. God created us for relationship. And believing that, or how much you believe that, is going to determine on how you live your life. Whether you're living your life for relationships or just to get stuff done. And it also will affect how you relate to God. Because if you just believe that your relationship with God is more a to-do list, then that's what your relationship, your communication is going to be with Him. But if it's going to be something to get to know Him, I know we were singing that last song, I was thinking, I love about any movie to do with space, just to see him go out in outer space or documentaries and all that kind of stuff. But I was outside, I thought, there is no space shuttle or space rocket that could take me anywhere that compares to how the Holy Spirit could take me into the presence of God. And this, the joy and there's nothing to comparable, even though I love looking at all that. And honestly, the main reason is because whenever I walk outside and I look up, there's just something in my heart that just is like, is humbled. It's just like what David said, God, who are we that you even think about us? When we grasp that star is millions of light years away, and yet you sent your son for us. So, wow. It's just a very worshipful experience. And so, communication. Communication is vital. It's a key element in any aspect of our life if you want to have healthy relationships. It's considered the basis of every interpersonal relationship, which means it is very, very important. The thing is we can all grow and improve in our communication. So in that, so how do we communicate with God? How can we communicate better with people in our family or our spouses or children or even communicate with our neighbors and our employees? How can we do that better? Do you believe we can all improve in the way we communicate? And this subject, there's majors in college on this. There's graduate degrees on it. So it's not like we're going to cover this in the next few weeks, everything there is. There's a Christian counselor named Norman Wright, who's been around for a while because actually he was Getting Ready for Marriage or Preparing for Marriage, was the book that Lois and I used for our premarital counseling. And so he's been around for quite a while. And, he wrote a book called Communication Key to Your Marriage. But he says, from all of his experience, what he discovered is it's not typically, say, money is one of the main things that couples argue about. But he said, really, and it causes problems in marriage, he says, really, what he's discovered is not money, it's the communication about money. It's communication, the talking, and how you talk about it, and how you communicate all that. It really causes more problems than the thing itself. But he states that communication is a process, and it takes time and effort. And that effort, it basically will depend on how much you value relationship. If we could have our young people come on up here. God, again, if we're talking about communicating with God, just how much do we want to communicate with God? And also realizing there are things in this life that tries to prevent us from communicating with God. There's things that in our life, and so these young people are going to do a little demonstration based on the verses found in 1 John chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. You can look at those anytime, but really the Bible says that there's three things that we fight against here on earth. We fight against the world. Who's the world? We fight against our flesh. Who's the flesh? And we fight against the devil. Who's the devil? The pastor's daughter always seems to be the devil. And so David's going to represent a Christian trying to get to Daniel, who's God. And this gives you an illustration of what they have to fight against to try to get to God. Sometimes things we deal with. So ready? Action. The world had him there for a moment. Uh-oh, there goes the flesh. And the devil comes. But David, though, see, he's not giving up. He's not giving up. Sometimes God can help. Get there and help him, God. All right. So eventually, he gets through before he wears out. All right, thank you, guys. Yes, happy birthday, Marlena. Get to play the devil on your birthday. And so, you know, some of that, though, as you can see, David was probably getting tired, you know, sometimes in his fight. That's why communicate with God. That's why we have one another, is to have each other to come in and step in. But, you know, it's all about why David was pursuing God. You know, what is God? What is God to us? You know, is he our very essence? Like the young man, I mean, he was the essence of his life. He was his life. He was his resurrection that brought him life. You know, in communication, there's three parts, basically, that makes up communication. And this is what Norm Wright, but it's just common sense, you know. There's talking, there's listening, and there's understanding. And, you know, in all of this, our communication, when we talk, we a lot of it we think is in words. But, you know, basically, and they show here, it was like 7% is words, and some people say it's 30%. But realize your words are just a small part of your communication. It's just a small part. And unfortunately, today, a lot of communication between each other are words. With technology, you know, through Facebook and emails and everything else that goes on, you know, texting and all that kind of stuff. We see a lot of words, but that's only a small part. So we miss a major part of communication. And then we begin to train ourselves. You know, we live in a world, and we can begin to train ourselves that that's how we communicate. And we miss so much of what real communication is. And that can be transferred to God. That we just turn God and our whole relationship with him into just words and miss all the other aspects of what communication involves. You know, and in that, there's not even if we do communicate, once it gets to us or when we do communicate, there's all of our filters that all those things go through. There's communication specialists point out that there are six messages that come through communication. First one is what you mean to say. I can relate to this. I know what I want to say, but then it's what I actually say. And it's having those right words. And I don't know, those of you who were here Sunday night realize that, you know, we talked about one of the importance of why God gave us the gift, as it says in 1 Corinthians 14, the gift of tongues, because it helps us to say things when we don't know what to say. And we don't know how to communicate to him. We could pray. But there's what you mean to say, what you actually say, what the other person hears. You ever experienced this, that you said something, but what they heard was not what you thought you said? And, you know, it's like, well, how did you hear that? That's not what I said. At least that's what I thought I said. So then what the other person thinks he or she hears. So not only do your words go out, then it goes into them, and then they process that. So they hear your words, but then they go through all their filters and what's going on. And then what the other person says about what you said. So now they're trying to say what you said, what they thought you heard when you was trying to communicate what you thought you said. And then you go back to what you think the other person said about what you said. And so, but you know, this is communication. This is what happens when we talk with one another, which is so important why we can learn to be better communication. You know, the thing is, why is it so important to communicate? Because communication builds trust. If I hear you and I understand and I begin to say, yeah, I know you. You know, that's how we get to know one another, is communication. And when we get to know one another, we trust. This is the same thing with God. When we communicate, if we don't communicate with God and there is no building of that, then what we're not doing is we're not building trust with Him. And you know, and trust is the basis of faith. Because if I trust God, then I'm going to believe what He tells me. But if I don't communicate with Him and there is not a relationship, then it's going to be hard to build a trust with Him. The next couple weeks, we're going to talk mostly about how our communication with God. And one of the big questions is, do you believe God wants to talk to you? Do you believe that He's included you, that you're part of His, of His heart? Well, I want to read a few verses here. And I got these verses are on these sheets if you want to come up sometime later after the service and get one of them. But I'm not even going to tell you where they're found. But these are all quotes from the Bible of God, from God to us. He says, "And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. And through him everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Can you hear the heart of God here? What he's saying, how he's included. It goes on, he says another verse, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread, whoever believes in me, as Scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Verily, truly, I say to you, whoever obeys my word will never see death. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and out and find pasture. I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will go do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Whoever loves God is known by God. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also, and whoever has the Son has life." Do you believe God that you're part of that whoever? Can you raise your hand if you say, I'm part of that. I'm part of the whoever. I'm part of the everyone. So God wants to talk to you. God has a heart. He's done this. The Bible says in Jeremiah, says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." God is not hiding from you. He's there for us. He wants to be a part of our life. You know, one of the main ways we hear from God is through His Word. Anybody, I would tell anybody, you want to learn to hear from God, get in the Bible. Be a Bible person. Look at you and say, well, I don't understand it. Well, we understand by communicating. How many in here has ever read the Bible all the way through? Does it make more sense once you read it all the way through? You sort of get this bigger picture of what's going on. And you know, and some of you may have tried to read it through. I encourage anybody, if you're just start reading the Bible, read the Gospel of John. And then the next book I would encourage you is read 1 John. Then the next book I would encourage you is read the book of Galatians. And then once you get going, you're going to be going then. You're going to be in motion. And I would encourage you, just stay in the New Testament for a little while. So you get a sense of getting to know this heart of God and the grace of Him. And then you start bouncing around in the Old Testament. You begin to see the grace we have and the mercy we have of this awesome God. But this is a way. But this isn't the only way. But this is the safest way. You know, I mean, there's a lot of ways that we encourage people to hear from God. God speaks to people all kinds of ways, through dreams, through nature, through music, through signs, all kinds of different ways. But it should always come back. You should be able to find out. It should line up with this, with His Word in all this. You know, communication, they say we communicate 70% of our time in our life. You may think, well, I don't talk that much, but you still communicate. Sometimes you talk by what you don't say. And listening is a major part of that. And I'm going to ask, Kathy Appleton is going to come, and she's going to share a little bit about this whole perspective of listening to God. So this is Kathy Appleton. She's one of our leaders. She's ordained here as a prophetess.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I really believe that God is taking a shift in our atmosphere and around us, and this is a shift of we have heard God's voice. And we're shifting from hearing God's voice from behind us, because we heard the voice of God behind us saying, let us go, let us do, let us, you are sent. And the shift is right now going on is the shift from seeing first, then to hearing. And so we have heard, and we went, and we saw, and now the shift is changing, and we're shifting to seeing, and then hearing, and then listening. And the example of this, and I believe it's really important for us because I believe this is happening in the spirit realm. This is what God is calling us into right now. In Exodus chapter 3, and you all know this story. Moses was at his workplace in the desert. He was on the backside of the desert, and he was working. It was a normal, everyday day. And all of a sudden, a bush caught fire, which is normal. That is very normal in the desert. The bushes just catch fire. That's just a normal thing that happened. And this is what happened in chapter 3. And he led the flock in the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked. And behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. That was the part that was unusual. It wasn't that the bush was burning, but that the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, because the bush was not being consumed, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. This is a time that God wants in your everyday life, in where you are at, your business, your work, whatever, he is going to show you something. There's sight coming. There's seeing coming. We are to see. And when we take the time to look, he had to look again. And when he did, God spoke, and Moses heard. And the same thing happened in Luke chapter 24. Remember the two men that were walking the Emmaus walk, and they met with Jesus, and Jesus began to tell them all of the history up until his death. He just related that whole thing to them. And they were in agreement, and they were, yes, yes, yes. And then they pressed Jesus to sit with them and to eat. And Jesus broke the bread. And when he did and he prayed, their eyes were open and they looked. And Jesus was gone. And then they heard what he had said to them. See, they didn't really hear what he had said before that. And they said, didn't our hearts burn within us when he was talking? Didn't we have a witness when he was telling this? This is he. This is he. This is Christ. He has resurrected. And that is what is happening here today. That is what God is trying to get to us. We are in a point and we are in a place that God is saying, open your eyes. And I believe he's doing it. He's opening our eyes. This is the year of 5775 in the Hebrew. And this is the year of the eye. This is the year that God is dealing with the eyes. And we had a manifestation of the eyes on Friday night. I just thought this little boy was just running around back and forth. And all at once, you know, he had these great, these glasses on. He went to his mama and said, I don't need these anymore. This is the ear of the eye. And I believe God is saying it's time to see. Let your eyes be open. I have many, many things to show you. And as you are looking and as you are seeing, you will hear my voice in the midst. Isn't that great? And I'm going to say this to you, Deb. I hope I won't embarrass you. But I saw you Friday night. And God says, I saw you Friday night. And you was throwing kisses to him. You was throwing kisses, and I believe God was saying, I'm throwing my kisses right back, and you're catching them. And as you throw those kisses back to me, and as you turn, and as you receive, you are being empowered to go out, and the love of me will be shining through you that others will begin to see and want that same thing.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kathy. You know, as Kathy was sharing, if we could have our musicians come on back up. As she was sharing, the thing that she was basically, if you heard, you know, part of she said, do we understand, is that we were positioning ourselves to listen. Because if we're going to see, there has to be a readiness in our heart. We want to listen. We want to hear what God is saying. And if you heard, God is wanting to speak to each one of us. And God has that burning bush for each one of us. If we stop and say, I'm going to go look at this. I want to see what God is saying in our life. Do you know, there's a verse in Hebrews. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors, to the prophets, at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him also he made the universe. What did God say? What did God say in these last days? You know, there was a study done of 8,000 people from all different varieties of occupations. And they asked every one of them, how good of a communicator are you? And every one of them said they believed they were as good or better than anybody else they work with. They said, but the reality was, is that only 25% of those people were really good at listening. And so don't deceive yourself into thinking, yeah, I'm a good listener. I don't need to work on this. We all can continue to listen to God, to say, God, help me to hear you. Do you think he'll answer that prayer? Do you think if my daughter would come to me when they were growing up and says, Dad, help me to hear you. Help me to understand what you're saying. Do you think I would ignore them? Or would I do everything in my power to help make sure that they knew what I was saying? And how much more, if I do that as a human, how much more would God Almighty, whose love is infinitesimal more than mine could ever mean. I mean, it's just unbelievable more than me. He feels that way towards you. And what way did God communicate as he spoke to Jesus? What was he saying here when he said Jesus? He was saying, I love you. Remember the verse we said, for God so loved the world in John 3:16. He gave his only son. He communicated in a nonverbal way as if it were by sending his son to die for us, for our sins. What a great communication of love he asked for us. If we could stand, please, and I'm going to ask our personal ministry team to come up. I know there's been a lot of prayer and ministry already, but these ones are available to pray with you about anything you want prayer for. We believe for breakthrough and for God to do good things. But before we sing this last song, and Justin's going to lead us in a worship song, we're going to pray. Before we do that, how many say, Lord, I want to commit my life afresh to be a listener of you. You know, listening, as we said, is one of the biggest parts of communication. And learning to be a good listener, which we'll talk a little bit about next week, but just a listener to her. So we're going to welcome the Holy Spirit to help us do that. You know, again, how much you want to listen to somebody communicates how much you love them. How much you really want, and I'm, again, not going to stand up here and say I'm great at this, but it's something I believe is important to continue my entire life to work on. So, Father, we just ask this day as we just lift our hands to you, and even if you put one hand over your ear and one hand over your heart, Lord, we ask that you would help us, as Kathy shared, that we could hear what you're saying, that we would see, Lord, those nonverbal communication, this is a major part of communication. We would see you in our life. We would hear you, God. And Lord, that you would give us a tenacity in our spirit. Even as David was showing and fighting through the things of the world, the flesh, the devil, we would not let that distract us from you, God. But Lord, we would press on and to hear you, to communicate and understand you, that we might follow after you wholeheartedly, God. We thank you for that. We welcome your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And a few moments, when Justin gets done, closes prayer, we encourage you, take maybe 3 minutes, find somebody that you don't know, share, introduce yourself, tell them you're glad they're here. You know, one of the things we encourage is don't give them an FBI interview. So share your own life with them. So God bless you. Be a listener and communicator of God.
So draw me a little closer, take me a little deeper. I want to know your heart, I want to know your heart. Your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I want to know your heart, I want to know your heart. So draw me a little closer, take me a little deeper. I want to know your heart, I want to know your heart. Love is so much sweeter anything I've tasted. I want to know your heart, I want to know your heart.
God, we just thank you, Father, that you're constantly speaking to us, Father. God, I just ask, Father, that even this week, Father, that we would have open ears, Father, to be able to hear you and hear what you're saying to us, Father. Not only just hear you, but, Father, listen to what you're saying to us and what you want us to do. So, God, I just ask, Father, that as you're speaking to us, Father, that we would move with you in all that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your sweet love. So, Father, be with us and keep us in all that we do. And everybody said, amen.